the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Now, there's some potentially billions of gallons of oil under it, and Republicans and the fossil fuel industry have been eyeing ANWR for decades.
Exactly. But it's a national wildlife refuge and a crucial habitat for wildlife like the porcupine caribou herd, which has the longest land migration on Earth, some 1,500 miles long. And for the Gwich'in indigenous peoples, it's known as sacred land where life begins. But supporters of oil drilling, especially Alaskan Republicans, claim that opening ANWR to drilling is key to revenue and job creation. And as you said, this fight does go back four decades. But in 2017, the Alaska congressional delegation was able to get a sale of oil leases into the budget resolution bill, claiming it would generate $1 billion of revenue for the government. Then, in the next year, several conservation and indigenous groups sued the Trump administration to try to block oil leasing in ANWR. But despite the lawsuits, the Bureau of Land Management finally scheduled some ANWR lease sales for this January 6th. And on January 5th, U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason denied requests for an injunction that would have delayed the bidding process until after President Trump leaves office. For more, let's bring in Anchorage Daily News reporter Alex DeMarbin. Welcome to Living on Earth, Alex.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, what exactly did Judge Gleason say in this case? What was her rationale for ruling in favor of the Trump administration?
Gleason, interestingly, didn't, I think, focus on some of the arguments that the conservation groups had made, such as that the Trump administration did not study the emissions appropriately that would come from oil development. So she instead focused on the fact that the conservation groups did not say that there would be immediate and irreparable harm, which was something that she needed if she was going to immediately halt the issuance of the leases. So rather than focusing on whether environmental steps had been overlooked, she had to focus on whether there was going to be irreparable damage caused by leases being issued to companies before she could make a decision. And she said that she had time to make a decision. If any such damage were to occur, she could make that decision before that damage might occur. So she focused on a very narrow part and said it's not ready right now to be stopped.
So basically she's saying that the lease sale itself doesn't pose any imminent danger because a company would still have to get another permit to begin seismic testing and then undergo, you know, an environmental impact statement, all of which I would think could take many years. Do I have that right?
Somewhat. She's saying that, yes, a lease sale won't cause immediate harm, and she can make a decision if it were to cause any harm before then, not necessarily in years, but maybe in months. For example, there's a seismic program that might take place this winter, and before any irreparable harm is done, she says she still has time to make a decision. She also said that that seismic exploration program isn't even approved yet, so there's nothing she can rule on there, but she invited the conservation groups to try again if they want to stop that once it is approved, and she would consider that request. So it's not an end to the case. It's just a very small part of the case in which she said a lease sale itself doesn't cause damage to the land or to values in the refuge immediately.
Alex DeMarbin is a reporter with the Anchorage Daily News.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Steve, as Alex just told us, drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge isn't necessarily going to get started anytime soon, but this decision does keep the possibility alive.
Right. The lease sales began the very next day after Judge Gleason gave her decision. What happened there?
Well, there were 22 tracts of land available for lease sales, but only half of them were actually purchased, and none of the big oil companies put in a bid.
So, Bobby, tell us why.
Well, there could be a few factors here. I mean, first, bowing to pressure from conservation groups, half a dozen financial institutions, including Bank of America, have pledged to not fund any Arctic drilling. So that means that extraction companies would have to largely invest their own money to work in the Arctic. And the price of a barrel of oil is quite low right now, so there's not a driving economic incentive for them to take on drilling in a remote, controversial region like ANWR.
Okay, so who did buy up those rights then?
Two small companies bought one parcel each. One is Regenerate Alaska, which is an affiliate of an Australian oil company, and Nick Arm Services, which appears to be an LLC based in Alaska, but very little information is available on it. The biggest bidder was the state of Alaska itself. Oil is, of course, a big business in Alaska, and the government relies heavily on extraction for both revenue and jobs. So the state-owned Alaska Economic Corporation bought the rights to 9 parcels of land, totaling roughly 500,000 acres. And they paid the minimum, $25 per acre, but they will actually get half that money back as part of the sale.
So this isn't exactly the windfall that the Trump administration hoped it would be.
No, certainly not. The administration hoped this sale would bring in on the order of $1 billion, but it's actually totaled less than $15 million. Mr. Trump himself has made opening ANWR a key part of this plan for expanding domestic oil production. So, you know, this lackluster sale must come as a disappointment, though, of course, he has far bigger concerns after the events of this week.
Right. Well, what, if anything, can President Biden and the new Democratic majority Congress do to reverse course on drilling in ANWR now that there are a few oil leases there?
Well, President-elect Biden has routinely said that he opposes drilling in the Arctic, and he's opposed to allowing new leases on any public land for that matter. There are some legal hoops that these lease buyers still need to jump through. So if the sales aren't finalized by Inauguration Day, it's possible they could be blocked. A more long-lasting solution, though, would be for the new Congress to reverse the 2017 legislation that allowed the sale to move forward to begin with. And then, of course, work on a law to permanently protect the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Well, I imagine there will be a lot of things on their agenda.
Yes, no doubt.